Hey, Gore friends, this is Story.
And Mars.
And here we are with another episode.
75? I think this is our 75.
We're almost 100. Oh, we got to do it big for 100.
You know.
For 100. We're almost 100. There. That's crazy.
Almost there, yep.
This week, Mars chose the movie. Mm-hmm. What did you pick, Mar?
Skeleton Key? Skeleton Key.
This movie, I forget about it, and then I get excited when I remember. Let's get into it.
Let's Stay go.
Mars.
Yes. Yes.
Why did you choose Skeleton Key?
You know why. It's a great movie.
It okay. is, but why now? Like 75 episodes in, you randomly thought, oh yeah, let's do Skeleton Key.
Okay, so it's been in my mind for a while, and we had something else planned for this episode. But as a backup, I honestly was going through Hulu and I saw it for free. I was like, you know, yes, let's go. So that's the reason. I think also because I don't think we've dealt with anything dealing with voodoo or hoodoo yet on the show, question mark. 75 episodes is a lot, and I don't think we've covered voodoo yet.
Yeah, no, I don't think we have any like hoodoo or anything in here yet, other than like our Patreon episodes. We covered Coven.
Yes,
but
that's correct.
Other than that, we haven't had any hoodoo or anything. So this is our first one.
Yeah, much needed, much needed.
Okay, good. All good things, all good reasons. Now, just a little bit of backstory in case you haven't seen Skeleton Key, or if it's been forever and you don't remember what happened in the Skeleton Key, don't worry. I got you. I got your back, fam. Mm-hmm. Here we go. So it was released in 2005. This movie.
Same year as Saw 2, by the way.
Old.
Same.
Old. The delay.
Old. Old.
So it was directed by Ian Softly and written by Aaron Kruger. This is a horror movie, like mm-hmm. through and through a drama horror mystery.
Yeah.
It mm-hmm. stars Kate Hudson as Caroline. We have Peter Sarsgaard as Luke, Gina Rowlands as Violet Devereaux, and we have John Hurt as Ben Devereaux, and honorable mention, we have Joy Bryant as Jill. Mm-hmm. The synopsis on IMDb reads, a hospice nurse working at a spooky New Orleans plantation home finds herself entangled in a mystery involving the house's dark past. Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. Sounds all spooky and what have you. Yep. Let's get into funny, cool, scary. Mars, what did you find funny?
I found a few things funny. The first thing I thought was funny was the good old gas station trope. This trope is so much of a trope that it is in Cabin in the Woods. That's how big this trope is. It's always a thing, whether someone's on a road trip somewhere or they're just trying to get somewhere they need to be, and they get mm-hmm. to a gas station. There's sketchy characters at this gas station. And so is the case in this movie. And I laughed at the trope just existing. So that was funny. And then freaking Violet is just loads of spoilers. As you guys know, we're 75 episodes in, so you guys should know all the spoilers are going to be up in this episode. So just the things that Violet says that are obviously like because of her not wanting to have Caroline's body. She's like, you're all marked up, aren't you? It's like, you don't want a person with tattoos. You don't want someone that's white.
Can't be that picky.
You don't want
can't be that picky.
She was upset that Caroline had tattoos. She was upset that she was not from New Orleans because she didn't have the same accent as her. She was upset that she was white. Just all of these things that made her upset just made me laugh. And it's just one of those things that I would put into the cool that you don't notice until you watch it a second time around. I also wrote, Ben wants out. I just, Ben.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let the old man go.
I said Ben was gone out the window. He was gone. He was out of there.
He's like, I hate it here. I just want to go. So every time Ben would try to escape or say something for help, I would laugh. And then at the end, where she leaves him in the shed, Ben's like, damn it, I just want to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact mm-hmm. that she leaves him in the shed, and then, you know, Violet is like, where is he? And she says he's in the shed. And he tries to stab her. And I'm like, okay, did Ben, like, get off of the desk and, like, get the shears and then get back on the desk? Like, I feel like there was work put into this process.
Ben put in work the whole... He worked harder than anybody else in the whole daggone movie.
Put some respect on Ben's name. Put some respect.
Put some respect on it. He's not on the thug list because he got himself cursed.
Yeah.
However, he's darn near up there. He's up there.
He just tried his best. And I also laughed when... when she was bathing him and she grabbed the mirror.
I put that in my F-ups. I was like, you're just torturing him.
Yeah, I laughed because I'm like, leave this old man alone. He's gone through enough.
It was like when SpongeBob thought he was ugly and Patrick was like, look at it. Look at it.
Leave the man alone. And then I also laughed. This is also an F up, but I also laughed because when she put the water on him and stuff, and he started speaking. And then she's like, what do you need? Like, what's going on? And he just starts yelling. I was like, Ben, you're not. Ben, no.
Imagine like trying to speak for so long, for like a month, and not being able to, and you just have these thoughts like screaming in your head, and then finally you're able to verbalize it.
Yep.
I don't think he could control it. I've been scared stiff before, and I was just like thinking the words until eventually when they came out, it came out in a yell. I was like, dang, I didn't even that need to be Ben. That yeah that loud. That was Ben.
So I laughed at that. And I believe that's all that I wrote for funny. Yeah, that's all I have.
Okay, cool beans. So, yeah, my main one was Ben being gone out the window. He was like, F this. F this. I'm outie. Like, forget that. What do you have for cool?
Few things cool. First of all, it being taken for it. To be taken place in New Orleans. Really great backdrop for a horror movie. We need more New Orleans
themed
thrillers and horrors in this. And yeah, I just love the whole backdrop. It's just amazing. You really feel, this kind of goes into set design and visuals, but you really feel like you are there, and it's great. And I also added, in terms of character development, really, really, really early on in the film, you know, Caroline has the book that she's reading to the man who passes away, and she ends up keeping his keychain. And that's a very small indicator that she cares a lot for people, like too much for
people. She gets attached.
There we go. Yeah, attached. Easily. Yes.
Yeah.
So that shows her attachment to people in different situations.
She's in the wrong field. In the wrong field to be getting attached to people.
Facts. So I think that was a great way to subtly just indicate that she gets attached easily. Because I'm very much show, don't tell. And that was a great way of doing that. And I also wrote, this goes into the scary, but voodoo lore. We haven't touched on a voodoo movie yet. I have some in my arsenal of what I want to cover on the show, but you know, I don't think there's a lot of voodoo, hoodoo.
Because that shit's real. That's why no, who wants to play around with that? Like, they're out here. Just so you guys know, like, the difference between voodoo and Hindu. Voodoo is the religious beliefs, all the spiritual side of hoodoo, with the different like Baron Samedi or Papa Legba from Coven. And then hoodoo, that's when people be getting crossed and people mm-hmm. be needing the brick dust, and that's where it gets dangerous. Like, yeah. Who wants to play with that?
Yeah,
I'm not playing with it. I'm not playing with it. I saw what happened.
I was watching with my mom, and she was like, "You don't got no Ouija boards," and I was like, "No, I don't. No, I'm not playing with it.
Not playing with it. No doorways or highways. No, nothing."
So I thought that was really cool to actually have a film dedicated to this culture, because it's not talked about enough. And I think it's really interesting. And I also, without getting into acting and visuals, I think that's all I got, actually. Yeah.
I have some stuff to add. So yeah, definitely agree with the whole New Orleans setting being very cool. I really wanted to notate the nightlife of New Orleans that was shown very briefly in the beginning of the movie, but it showed you everything you needed to know that you need to go to New Orleans and party. Like, yeah. I am excited.
And it showed the both sides of New Orleans. Yeah. You had the party scene, and you also had the outskirts with the gators and the plantations.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Also, for me, this movie feels very nostalgic. Every time I watch this film, I feel a little closer to my grandmother, who's from New Orleans, and had a thing about mirrors and thunderstorms and mm-hmm. Just a lot of things revolving around voodoo and hoodoo. And so it to me reminds me a lot of my childhood, and it's just cool to see the representation of it. Mm-hmm. Although a part of me was sad a little bit that there weren't more people of color in the cast. Mm-hmm. However, it made sense for the storyline mm-hmm, at the mm-hmm. same time.
I agree.
Because you have this arrogant, you know, white girl from New Jersey. Seriously. That's like, oh, none of this is real. It's all in your head. And this stuff is just, you know, using fancy words to explain away mm-hmm. people's beliefs. Like, this is a whole religion. How do you just walk into somebody's store and tell them what they mm-hmm. believe isn't real mm-hmm. and still make a purchase? Like, you looking mm-hmm. stupid. Anyway. I like the trope of it, but also it was just really nostalgic for me. I thought Estate Dude was cute, Luke. I was like, he's kind of cute. Mm-hmm. He was. In a different, you know, life, in a different world, like mm-hmm. maybe that could have been a thing. I was like, okay, Luke, I forgot about the ending when I was watching it. I was like, oh, hey, Luke.
I didn't forget.
And then at the end, I was like, oh no, Luke. Oh no.
Oh no.
I like that. It's going to sound like it's in visuals, but bear with me. It is in the cool because of the way they chose to use the scenery to push the story along, as far as they showed the line of brick dust in the driveway, but they waited until after the gas station scene to show it. And I just thought that was really cool that they're like, mm-hmm. oh, you see, this looks kind of hoodoo-y and sketch. Okay, now in the very next scene, we're going to show it to you again, but it's in the driveway. So it lets mm-hmm. you know right away, this is a house that's practicing mm-hmm. and it kind of gives the story away without giving the whole story away. So I thought that was really cool. And her bestie was spitting facts.
She was.
That's why she was my honorable mention, because Jill came in here spitting facts, mm-hmm. talking about, why are you doing all of this though? Like, mm-hmm. he really went to see a witch doctor for what?
And yeah, she's kind of like the voice of the audience.
The patient. Yeah, she's telling it from the audience perspective. And I love that. I love those characters. Those are always my favorite characters in the movie because they're speaking facts. But she was like, oh, but what matters is the patient believes it. I'm trying to cure the patient. She was like, cure, you're in hospice. You're just here to help them die. Like, you're not here to fix people. Like, why are you getting too attached? He's not your father. The last one wasn't your father. The one before that wasn't your father. And then she apologized. I was like, girl, don't even say you're sorry. She needed to hear it. It didn't change anything, but she needed to hear it. So yeah, that's all I have for my cool.
And I have one more I want to point out to mention. So if you watch it again, you know, you'll start noticing the interactions between Luke and Violet way more of like, they have a bond in a different way. So when Violet catches them in a room together talking, I think this is after, this might be
after, this is the after whole, the window.
Yeah, after the window incident. window incident. And Violet walks in and sees him sitting on the bed. She kind of has this look at them like she's jealous. And then Luke is like, oh, you're the only woman in my life. And it's like, that takes on a different meaning when you watch it again. It's like, ooh, you know, they really are partners and legit out here. So I really appreciated that. And like I said, there's other little things in there that kind of gives away that they have this deeper bond than just being a realtor, lawyer, or whatever. So yeah, that was the last quote that I wanted to mention.
Yeah, that's something. I didn't even think about that. But you're right. And he kept trying to throw her off track, like every time she brought up, like, don't you think he need help? Like, don't you think they need help? And Luke was like, I don't know what you mean. I don't know. I think you need proof. I don't know. Yeah. So I thought that, yeah, that's really cool, actually. Very well written. Mm-hmm. What did you find scary?
Everything. Although I love New Orleans terrifies me as well, because like you said, this stuff is legit. Whether or not you believe in it, it's a scary situation. Just the presence and the energy of magic, good or bad, scares me. So the whole atmosphere is kind of sketchy. And then in the very beginning, it was probably, I don't know if this was deliberate, it probably is, but in the very beginning, when Caroline's going to the house, do you catch that chair, that rocking chair on the porch rocking? Just like the sound design they did with that porch chair, kind of.
I just assumed it was the wind.
My mom assumed that too, but I was like,
yeah,
I don't know. Right.
There's ghosts in that house, I'm pretty sure.
So that threw me off, Gordon. That's something I never noticed until this viewing, where, you know, there's a rocking chair rocking, but you don't see Caroline's hair blowing, her dress isn't blowing. I was like, I don't see any wind happening. Why is it rocking so quickly, I guess. So that was really sketchy. And although that house is beautiful, that house was sketchy, where she had like the statues around the house. I don't like houses with statues. Not a fan of that. Reminds me of Hill House. Not a fan.
For sure. Situation.
And this kind of reminds me of our themes of Rosemary's Baby, where you are basically being used as a plan, and everything's kind of, and Hereditary status as well, where you're kind of used as a plan. You don't know about it, but everyone else knows about it, but you.
Not
a fan of that. And I think that's another reason why I really like this movie too. I love movies dealing with paranoia and like not being able to trust people around you, and this definitely falls into that category. And it's just really, really sketchy. And the voodoo room, you know, great set design, but voodoo room is scary. Yeah. Don't like that very much. Not a fan. Like, there's whole ass like skeletons and things in jars and spell books and records. And like I said, this is legit. Really, that's a real person. This is real things happening that people believe in. And I think that is it for in terms of scary. It's a very, if you guys are wondering, there's a few jump scares, like in terms of like loud cues, like audio cues and visual jump scares. But that's, I don't know. It's kind of like thriller horror.
Yeah.
Kind of on the cusp of thriller horror drama to me. Definitely more horror than Things Seen and Heard, in my opinion. Very much so. Like, definitely more jump
scares. Very much.
Compared to that. So it's a little bit more intense than the last couple of films that we have covered.
It definitely has a lot of tension throughout the movie. Like, the entirety of the movie is dark and meek, and you just feel like, what's happening? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
And almost every scene has something sketchy going on.
Yeah, I would label it horror drama mystery. No, horror.
That's actually what it is labeled. It's like drama horror mystery. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good label for it. Good job, IMDb.
Freaking IMDb. For me, it was the creepy plantation style house. I could never. A lot of triggers for, like, you know, back in the day, racism. You have definitely. Two people being hung in a tree. And then burned alive while hanging. So that was just a lot to deal with. The whole ending. Just the entire ending.
Yeah.
I also said everything about the attic, because from the time that Caroline first went in the attic to get the seeds,
which is actually a plan in the first place.
Right.
It's such a setup.
Right.
Jump.
To get her curious about the room and everything. So yeah, the whole setup. But just everything that was happening with the attic door shaking, and there's just a lot of creepy things going on up there, and then uncovering all the mirrors. And, you know, every time she went up there, there's something else creepy about it. But then, yeah, the whole ending of the movie just like went from 0 to 100. Mm-hmm. Particularly for me, what scared me personally, on a personal note, that probably wasn't meant to be scary unless you're already familiar with some rules of hoodoo and voodoo lore, when there was a thunderstorm, and I guess it was probably one of her first nights there, she opened her compact before getting in the shower. Mm-hmm. I was like, why do you have a mirror? It's a thunderstorm and you're in New Orleans. But that's just me, because of the way I grew up. You cover the mirrors during a thunderstorm. Mm-hmm. Even though I didn't grow up in New Orleans, my grandmother just carried that over to LA with her. Mm-hmm. And was like, why are there mirrors? Unplug everything and cover all the mirrors. Like, you don't need any mirrors out during a thunderstorm. You start seeing shit. So for me, that gave me anxiety personally, and also the brick dust working in front of her door when she covered it with the rug, and then Violet couldn't enter her room. Which I think is
the thing that sealed the deal for her, because up until then, it's always been kind of speculation, like, oh, this is stuff that they believe. But at that point, she didn't see her play that down, but she still wouldn't go into the room. And I think that sealed the deal for her character that, yo, this is legit. Which I think is great kind of like writing and development of her character.
Right, right, exactly. So that, for me, I was like, that's scary. Because, like, what do you do, like, now with that knowledge now of knowing, which is kind of the whole buildup of the movie is, okay, you're trying to solve this mystery. But with any mystery, it's like, okay, once you learn the truth, and you're not a cop, you're not someone that can really do anything about it, what do you do with that knowledge? So that's what scared me. It's because it's like, okay, Caroline girl, what are we gonna do now? Because I would have just left. But yeah, that's what I have for my scary. What did you think of the acting and visuals?
Man, you know, as for the visual, like I mentioned before, this the set design and the backdrop of New Orleans is just amazing. Like, it seems like this whimsical place and magical place in more ways than one. And this is a real place. Like, that seems like a real plantation where she was dancing, seemed like a real bar that I would go to. Like, it just seemed really full of life. And even the whole laundromat where she goes to buy her stuff seemed like a real place. And I really appreciated that in terms of set design. And as for acting, no complaints from anyone. From Ben freaking Ben needs a reward to play someone
he
with.
Needs
like,
he needs that. An Oscar for that. He was snubbed. He was snubbed.
He was out here with no lines, playing, acting with his eyes and just his body language. And whenever he was in pain, I was like, oh, Ben, no. You really appreciated him as a character and an actor. And yeah, as for everyone else, very believable. I loved Violet, how she played her very much, like very, you know, all the attitude that she gave her and just how she just portrayed herself. I really appreciated that character. And yeah, no complaints for the acting. Everyone kind of pulled their weight, I feel.
Yeah, for sure. Beautiful green southern scenery. It's just so green, so lush. Went to the South for the first time recently, and I was just in awe because in LA, it's just concrete and buildings
and trash,
palm trees that don't belong.
Yeah.
They're just so out of place. And in the South, you have these, you know, you have these swamps and bayous and big, beautiful, lush green trees. And they did so many shots, like showing water droplets from the trees and things like that. Really took advantage of the scenery and shooting on site. And I just took it all in. I appreciated it. There's some cool transitions going on that were kind of like aerial shots specifically. In the bar was one when she was dancing. Mm-hmm. They had this kind of shot from up above that kind of twists and turns, and then you kind of go into the trees and the plantation and things like that. They did that a couple of times in the film, and I just, you know, I love me a good transition.
You do.
I have to agree with the set design. The set design throughout the whole movie really was really captivating. The way they set up the house so that you can notice where a mirror should be, where it isn't. Like if you're walking through someone's home, like they're a hallway in a modern home, you wouldn't say, a mirror probably should have gone there. Like you don't see where, because the way homes are set up nowadays, you could not put anything on the walls and it doesn't look like anything's out of place or anything's missing, or you can hang up a painting here or there. But in these old plantation style homes, they really, the architecture kind of had the interior design in mind for the houses. And it's like, oh, well, make a curve in this wall for this mirror to go and whatnot. And I just appreciated that she was able to walk through the house and go, was there a mirror that was supposed to be there? Like, how do you know it wasn't a painting or something else? It was a mirror specifically. And the fact that they had so many mirrors in the attic just also paints the picture of how large the home must be, because those are various sizes and they're, like I said, so many of them. And it's like, how many mirrors could you have in one house? But they did that. They did that. Where did they F up?
You know?
Where?
You know, let's Genesis F up, Genesis F up, please, you know, don't take advantage of your relationships with your parents before they pass away, because that's basically what drove her character and from a writing perspective, like that's the reason why she is where she is. It's from guilt. So the fact that she just, like, she says she, you know, she went off to party, she did her own thing, and then before she knew her dad was sick, he was dead, and she kind of started doing nursing to take care of people, trying to make up what she did wrong with her relationship with her dad. So, yeah, that was an F up, and then snooping in the attic, like, why? Just her snooping overall. It's like, do your job, bro. Like, you're getting paid $4,000 a week in 2005, $4,000 a month in 2005 in New Orleans. I'm sure that goes pretty far.
Yeah.
I'm just, my head down and be quiet. That's where I would be in this whole situation. None of my business. Like, that's how I feel.
None of my business.
And yeah, just her not leaving or telling somebody. Like, she, So yeah, you are getting this indication that his wife is abusing him or doing something to him. This is not something that the cops can really persecute or do anything, but because Ben is, he doesn't have any bed sores. He's not like throwing up. He's being fed. Like, from an outside perspective, he looks fine, but you're just like, oh, something is wrong. It's like, you're being nosy and you're just mind your own business. Mind your own business about it.
Mm-hmm.
And my huge F up too is, why after you leave the plantation, why did you go to the lawyer guy? Why did you go to Luke?
Why did you go to her attorney? Like, he could be in on it. That's her attorney.
Like, that didn't make sense to me. I'm like, go to your friend, if anything. Like, or go to the cops.
It's not the attorney's job to, like, look into that. He's just there to do the will.
Yeah, that was a really weird decision on her part to go and confide in him with this information, because he didn't even really believe in it, quote unquote. He didn't believe in the stuff. So I was like, why go to him? Go to your friend or go to the police, because you're in danger. You know, like I said, the cops would probably not do anything about it, but I don't understand her reasoning to go to him for this situation. And I thought that was a really great scene as well, and set design was great too, for her to see those beginner lawyer books and stuff, just to show that he's not who he says he is. I thought that was a really great realization as well. But yeah, her deciding not to leave and to dig into all this in the first place was just dumb, because he was supposed to be alive for a month. I was like, he's only supposed to be here for a month. You know, just stick it out for a month. Like, why are you digging into this? I don't know. I don't understand. That's all I got, I think.
Well, while you're talking about how nosy she is, which, by the way, I wrote in my notes, I was like, girl, just nosy.
Yeah.
I was thinking back to what you said about, you know, all the little subtle nuances of Luke's character kind of giving away who he truly was. And I was just thinking back to, like, some of the dialogue, and I'm just like, girl, get out of there. Yeah. Like, you have no business.
Yeah.
When she was gonna walk out in the beginning, she should have kept going. When she said, you know, I can't help someone that doesn't want to be helped. Very good. That's the mindset. That's Genesis step up. That's when she should have. That if she would have kept going, she would have avoided the whole thing. But I think she thought Luke was cute and she stayed.
Yeah, seriously, thought he was cute, and he was like, oh, because he was like, oh, left.
Yeah, she said, oh, what would you tell her to, you know, convince her otherwise? And she thought he was, like, you know, gassing her up, but really he was spitting facts about their situation. He said he would tell her, oh, I'd say something like, she's the best there is, and we're not going to find any better right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just take what you can get for now. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, that's scary. Basically telling her she got to settle for this body for now.
Mm-hmm.
She's young. She's healthy. We'll find someone else later.
Another F up. She's learning. I don't know why I didn't mention this. We talked about this in Drag Me to Hell. Learn your spells.
Learn all the rules.
Learn all the rules before you start using spells. She grabbed the protection spell. You're not even knowing what it's going to do. You're just putting this powder on the ground and putting your knife out. It's like, hey, you can't come near me. It's like, you don't even know what you're doing. You don't even know what you're doing. So that really, the arrogance of such situation. You've been here for, I don't know how long she's been there, but it hasn't been that long, obviously. So her it's like, you don't know what you're doing. So that is a huge F up as well. Like, if you're going to be about it, be about it. Or you could even ask, like, the lady at the stove, like, at the voodoo shop. Ask the lady at the voodoo shop, like, yo, like, what does this do? What can I do? She just grabbed a random record, grabbed the stuff, and be like, oh, this must be correct. Super stupid. Super.
Mm-hmm. Just trying to recreate stuff. Just yeah. Don't make no sense. I agree. I concur wholeheartedly. I have some things to add too. First of all, why explore the attic? It's creepy. It's dusty. Mm-hmm. It's none of your business. Just yeah. Stay out of there. Then she, not only was she being nosy, but when Violet gave her an answer and she told her about the mirrors and seeing ghosts and things like that, she was really disrespectful, I feel, very in her response
so.
To
very
it.
Very much so.
Yeah. Didn't want to accept it and was like, oh, don't tell me you think that there's ghosts in your mirror. Like, don't be disrespectful. Super. That's why disrespectful. They didn't want someone that wasn't from New Orleans, mm-hmm. because, like, I mean, aside from the obvious, yeah. If they were like really this old white couple, right, and mm-hmm. and they just needed hospice care, like, you want someone that's going to come in and respect you and respect your house.
Yeah, respect the culture.
Thing. You can't walk into someone's home and disrespect what they believe in. Seriously. Which goes right back
and it's
to
funny that she claims
our main character
she,
being so arrogant.
She claimed that she was like open-minded.
Spiritually,
which I think was a
yeah.
great thing to say, because it's like, okay, if you're not open-minded, then we're probably not gonna be able to convince you that hoodoo is real. Like, if she was like, mm-hmm. oh no, I'm you know atheist or whatever, like, okay, you're probably not a good fit for us then, because if you're open-minded, you can probably be open to these things as well.
Yeah, and that's all you need to be, because if you're super religious and you're Christian, you're probably gonna like pray that shit away real quick, mm-hmm. right? And be like, that's not, I believe in something, but not that, you know. Yeah. But the fact that she seems kind of agnostic and not really leaning any which way, and mm-hmm. she's just like, I'm just out here, you know,
yeah.
With my mind out in the open, you know.
Yeah, and disrespect someone's religion.
Yeah, but understood. The fact that she was so disrespectful numerous times. And then I said she really dabbled in hoodoo to prove a point, yo, like, she yeah. just to be like, oh well, it's not real, but he thinks it's real, so I'm gonna go to the hoodoo store and buy some stuff.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Like,
don't do that, you guys. It's
sense.
Not a good idea. Don't do that.
don't do that to prove a point. I told you earlier it was in my F-ups, torturing poor Ben with the mirror in the bathtub. Like, leave this old man
and then
alone.
Close the
he's
door.
Been through enough.
Close
and then close the door so no one knows he's being tortured. Like, she's a horrible care person. I would never hire Caroline. Don't hire this girl. Blacklist her whole indeed.
Gosh, please, please.
Just blacklist her resume on the job market. And then, when she went back to the gas station with Luke, and she was like, oh, wait, I've been here before. Look, I want to show you the brick dust. Mm-hmm. Girl, she get on my nerves. Oh, look, let's see the
She's
brick
annoying.
Dust. And then
She's
she
like, look, they
walked
believe in
up
this. It's
to
like, yes.
these people's house, walked into the home, wasn't invited in. Just
the
let
arrogance.
Herself and open someone's door in Louisiana. You will get shot,
yep.
baby.
Yep.
Baby, you getting shot in Louisiana if you do that. I'm letting you know right now. She walked into someone's home and started touching shit.
Yeah.
I said
so
the privilege. The old lady was like, who are you? What you doing here? Don't go touching anything.
Yeah.
And took advantage of the record. Fact that the old lady was blind.
Yeah.
Over there playing fiddle faddling with her records.
Awful.
Got her slimy little fingers.
Oh my gosh.
Fiddle faddling.
Ew.
Touching all the records. And like, oh, what's this? This is, are you listening to Justify?
Oh,
are you listening
God.
To Pop? Is that what you're doing? It's like, why?
Yeah.
It's none of your business.
Yeah,
it is
horrible.
None of your business. Oh, I was so mad at her for that specific
yeah.
scene. I was like, the privilege. Who? Okay, I think I'm done. I have rage mode.
As
like,
you should. Caroline's
a
awful.
Little bit.
You don't watch it for Carol. You just watch her downfall.
And
it's just
And I actually have a sad to add.
There's a sad.
So yeah, in the very beginning, she's reading to a patient and he passes away. She packs up his stuff and they're like, his family don't want anything to do with them. Just throw it in the vat. And she goes to the dumpster and it's full of nothing but boxes of people's stuff that their family didn't want to come and collect. It was just a graveyard of, it was literally a graveyard, but they just threw these people's memories in the trash. All these mm-hmm. people were going to be forgotten mm-hmm. or were already forgotten. And that just hit me. I was like, yo, mm-hmm. that's depressing. Yeah. No wonder why she took that keychain, like mm-hmm. to, you know, not let his memory die. And then it was a great setup for a story about people who just don't want to die, who don't mm-hmm. want to go mm-hmm. away. Mm-hmm. So that's my little sad.
That is sad.
A little tear. Okay, let's get into what makes this a horror movie and what are the themes. This should be fun.
Dealing with hoodoo, scary situation. We're dealing with, like I said, paranoia, not being able to trust people around you, the whole Lori situation. Like I said, it's confiding in someone that you think is an ally and they're not. That's scary. And, you know, just being like over your head, because that's basically what happened. Like, she thought she could take control of the situation and she was up over her head and everything. And mm-hmm. themes, really great themes in this film. I'm very curious to see what you think, but one of mine for sure is, don't underestimate the power of belief, like with anything, especially with religion and everything. Ooh, like
that's a good one.
The power of belief. Super that's intense.
Look at Mars out here with the themes out here.
The power of belief, because like
gave me a chill.
Oh my god, too much. Well, you know, she says it all the time throughout the movie. Like, it doesn't work unless you believe in it. So, you know, at the end, she literally just, I mean, from our perspective, she could have just stepped out of the circle and she would have been fine. But she was so far into it to where she believed it, she could not leave the circle.
Even the previous nurse warned her. She said, you better get out of there before you do believe.
Exactly. Like,
and
exactly.
She didn't listen. And I think even at that point, she was already believing it was too late.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
So yeah, that's the one that I want to put in. Just don't underestimate the power of belief. That's the one I want to put out there. What do you have to say?
Yeah, I feel like it's arrogance. I feel like back with Hereditary and other films that we've covered on this show, there's a theme of arrogance where there's a whole plot that's laid out for you. Like, there's a whole plan mm-hmm.
playing along
for
game.
You playing yeah that's game. Laid out and you're so into your own beliefs. Like, she was just explaining everything away mm-hmm. to the point where she didn't realize that she was in danger.
Yeah.
It's like, girl, you are not safe here. Mm-hmm. And she just wasn't paying attention, and she was like, I'm gonna save this old man. And it's like, he's not the one that needs to be saved. Mm-hmm. He's gonna die regardless. He's old.
Yeah.
You need to save yourself. Like, yeah, you're the one that's in danger.
Another F I want to mention is they mention how the spell that she thinks that Violet's trying to perform on Ben is the one that, you know, sucks the age life. From and I'm yeah. like, Ben don't got that long left. Why? I was like, yeah. Why would she take Ben's life? He doesn't have that much left, idiot. Like, why? Mm-hmm. It's not for Ben, then. It's not for him, it's for you. So I thought that was another F up for her to think that that spell was for Ben and it was not.
Yeah, yeah, she just didn't read up, no research. Inserted herself and thought she knew everything, and she didn't. And so, yeah, her arrogance is definitely her downfall. And I feel like, you know, this movie as a whole, what really makes it scary, I think, is being someone's prey. Like, she was sought out and brought into the situation for a purpose, for a reason. So there weren't any coincidences. She didn't just happen to stumble across this job. And it's like, why is their attorney the one finding them hospice care? Like, your insurance company should be doing that for you, not your attorney. So they're just a lot of red flags, but also just the whole thought of being sought out and chosen to be a sacrifice, essentially, to be it's like Get Out, you know, he was he was chosen as like a surrogate body for someone, and that's exactly what happened here. So that's definitely terrifying that she had like no, that it just, they were persistent and they got to her.
And I think it also works because we're dealing with older people. Like, the villains in this movie are not like visual monsters. It's not like Freddy Krueger,
unassuming villains. Kids and old people, man, you gotta be wary of them. I don't trust either one. When I get old, I'm not even gonna trust myself. Like, real talk, old people and kids, they seem so innocent, and you just think, oh, but they're just fragile and they need someone to take care of them. But that's not the case. Most of the time you need to watch out for yourself around old people and kids, because they're so old, they're full of all this wisdom that they can use against you. Yeah, man, it's hard out here, scary out here, but definitely agree with your theme of the power of belief, and underestimating it. And for myself, arrogance is definitely a big one here, because you can be blinded from the truth by, you know, just tunnel vision.
Yeah.
Okay. What is your relationship status?
I need to buy this movie. It's one of those movies I'm like, why don't I own this already?
What the heck? I just forget about it. It's a movie and I used to watch. I'm like, this is a bot.
Yeah,
this
it was a film I rented at video stores. Rip. Rented at video stores growing up, numerous times. So it's definitely a movie I would buy and keep in my library. How often would I really watch this movie? I would probably do vacation bay, like every so often watch it, like maybe every couple of months hit it up. You know, it's not something I would watch like all the time, but you know, I really like the themes, and although Caroline is an annoying character, like you said, it fits with her being white and her arrogance, and it fits into the whole plot as a whole. So it kind of redeems it. So I would probably just say like a casual, just like vacation bay that I hit up like every couple of months.
For sure. I was just thinking about my own relationship status, and I would purchase it as well. So it's definitely not a hidden and quit it. As for how often I would watch it, definitely seasonal. Like I would totally have it on. I'm added to my watch list for this Halloween, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
Definitely great for you know, summer when you're hitting those, you know, you're at that halfway mark before Halloween comes up. Because the movie feels very humid. It feels like a sticky. You know, you need to sit on the porch with a glass of iced tea. And then I would definitely watch it, you know, a couple times a year. It's great for a movie night. I love it. I might have to redeem another movie night for you on your Twitch. Like, I have the channel points to redeem like 40 of them, 50 of them. Let's go. So definitely a seasonal bay and maybe summer vacay bay. This is definitely a bay.
It's a bay.
And we are committal, but open, you know, like I'm still dabbling over there with 13 ghosts and they don't mind. So that's the skeleton key, guys. Yes.
We did that.
I
love this film.
This is I forgot how good of a movie this was. You guys need to go and watch it if you haven't. And if you have seen it, go watch it again.
Yep.
Go it's buy it. It's
on Hulu for free at the moment, so go check it out. We're not sponsored by Hulu, although I wish we were.
You know, Hulu, Shudder, all y'all need to come out the woodwork. Let's go. We're going to take a quick little break and we'll come back with our businessy stuff by Mars, the wonderful Mars. She's so good at it. And then we're going to have our sounds like a horror movie. Ooh. And I don't even know what that's
like. I know what it is and I'm excited.
Let's go.
Hey, y'all, we are Wendy and Beth. She's Wendy and I'm Beth. And we want to tell you about a podcast that we host called Fruit Loops Serial Killers of Color.
Fruit Loops is a podcast about true crimes committed by people of color and the victims that we don't hear or know much about. Contrary to popular belief, not all serial killers are straight, cisgender, white dudes. No, ma'am.
Join us at Fruit Loops as we tell fascinating stories of true crimes committed by people of color and their victims that often go untold by the mainstream media. As we dive into these cases, we get into the historical and cultural context of the crimes and the criminals in order to get a sense of what might have influenced the perpetrators and led to the crimes.
And that's right. New episodes drop every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts from. So until then, look alive, y'all. It's crazy out there.
Hey guys, welcome back. Really hope you enjoyed our ad. And, you know, be sure to follow the podcast that follow us and support us. So go check them out. So as for our businessy stuff, we're on all sorts of social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at GoreFriends. We have an email, which is GoreFriendPodcast@gmail.com. We have a Google Voice number in which you can call. It'll go straight to voicemail and you can leave, you know, your kind words, a movie recommendation, or even your own sounds like a horror movie, and we'll play it on the show for you. That's going to be located in the show notes of this episode, actually. We're on iTunes, so if you want to go on there and leave a 5-star review or just an honest review for us, and, you know, it'll make it easier for people to find us, so go ahead and support us on there. We're also on Patreon, so you can donate $1, $5, or $10 a month for various perks. Our $5 tier is our most popular. You get a Gore Game sticker, you get access to Gore Friends TV, in which we cover, it's basically the same show, we just cover horror-themed TV shows. Currently, we're covering Black Summer, which has been a hell of a ride. And if you are a musical artist or a podcaster and you want your music or your ad played on our show, go ahead and reach out to us on any of the avenues that I just mentioned, and we can make arrangements for us to play it on the show for you. So that is our businessy stuff. You know,
still doing it so well.
You're going to do next episode. You're going to do next episode. Oh, next episode. I'm putting
can I do the sounds like a horror movie then?
Yes. Yeah. You can do the whole thing. How about that? How about that?
Wow.
Cast me outside.
How about that?
She out here, you guys. You guys heard it here. Next week, Story's going to take over. I'm going to remember. Go. I'm excited. I'm practiced now. Story, you got this. You got this. Think about it now.
Wow. Okay. I'll do it.
Yes, I'm excited. So as for our sounds like a horror movie, of course, we are taking this from Reddit because Reddit has all the creepy stories that I appreciate. This one is pretty short and quick. This was posted 2 months ago by Inside BG, and the title of this post is Stalked at Work Until I Turned 18. You know? Sorry's face is just...
That's the story right there. That's it. That's the sounds like a horror movie. That the title. Like, I don't even need the rest of it. That alone did it for me.
Until I turned 18. Alrighty, so let's hop into this, shall we? I worked at a hardware store in high school. We had a number of fairly regular customers, but there was one man in his mid-30s that became a regular after I checked his items out one night. I noticed that I kept seeing him on my shift, and he would continually try to strike up awkward conversations with me and hold up the line until I told him I had to take care of other customers. Our registers were in front of a large glass window, so anyone walking outside could see who was working. He eventually started to wait outside of the window and tap on the glass to get my attention after leaving. I rode my bike to work, and after getting off late at night, it started to terrify me. One night, when I was working alone, he asked me if he could have my number, and if I was 18. When I told him I wasn't, he asked for my birthday, to which I replied some arbitrary date in the distant future. I told my boss about this interaction, and from then on, she made sure I never worked alone, and she would follow his ass anytime he entered the store to the point where he stopped coming. The day of my fake birthday, or close to it, I couldn't remember the exact date I had given him, he came knocking on the glass again. It was busy, and my boss wasn't around, so I tried to ignore him. I eventually noticed that the knocking had stopped, and I could only assume he had made his way into the store. Very soon after, I am greeted by his face in front of my register. He hands me a plastic grocery bag and says, "Happy 18th birthday!" I'm embarrassed, so I take the bag and tell him to please leave. When my friend and I open the bag after work, it contained 2 packages of fireworks and nothing else. That's it.
Fireworks?
Fireworks! Cause baby, you're a firework.
For her birthday?
Apparently.
I was expecting flowers.
No, fireworks.
Fireworks.
I love the story because it takes a weird turn. Like, it's very weird. You know, I've worked customer service most of my life, and I've had those customers that are just weird and creepy and off.
He really came back on her 18th birthday.
Can we talk about the MVP about her boss?
Yeah, her boss I was like yeah. The thug of the story, yes. The thug of the story. Someone's trying to get on the thug list.
Yes, because okay. We always talk about do not work alone if you're closing. Never work mm-hmm. alone. And this boss actually listened. The boss was like, okay, yep. You're not working alone.
You're not working alone.
And I'm going to follow him around the store. I'm going to follow him mm-hmm. around. He's not going to harass my employee. And I really appreciate that. So, yeah.
I need more like her.
Yeah. Yep, so great, so great. And I think also because it was a female manager, so she probably understood and was like, nope, none of that here.
Yeah.
None of that here.
Men take notes.
Take notes, please.
That's wild.
So that is, final thought. I mean, that's...
He really came back.
Yeah, with fireworks.
Wow.
Just fireworks. That's it.
I don't need a follow-up. He's got to come back again.
You want a part two? You want
I feel
more
like he'll
fear?
I feel like he'll come back. I just feel it in my
I don't
bones.
See any updates from this person. So if anyone knows of this person, or if anyone knows any of the people that has submitted these stories, let us know. We would love to get updates on these situations, man.
Yeah,
because they be out here wilding. But yeah, that's our this week. Sounds like a horror movie. A short, sweet, and unexpected ending, I think. So yeah, that's all I got to say.
Wow, I'm gonna be stewing on that for a while, you guys, because I'm like, wow, he really came back on the day. He had it on his calendar. Like, you got to think about that. Think about the effort put in. Get you a man that remembers your birthday.
And brings you fireworks.
And a manager that won't let you work alone at night.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the dream, man.
That's our episode 75, mm-hmm. big 75. We getting old out here.
A little
75.
A little older.
We will be back next week with episode 76. Mm-hmm. Getting older, another mm-hmm. week, another episode. Stay tuned. We're gonna have a very exciting time. I'm not gonna tell Mars that I'm picking just yet because I have to confirm that it is streaming. So stay tuned, y'all. We love you. Thank you for the support, and we'll see you next time.
Until next week. Bye.
Bye, Gorgane.